Happy Monday, home theater fans. My name is Todd Anderson, your host on this podcast, home theater news review and editor at the home theater forum, avnirvana.com. Coming to you from the Baltimore, Washington metro area, just outside of the nation's capital. You can watch this podcast on our YouTube channel or listen to it on Spotify and iTunes. And here's where I tell you to go subscribe, review, share, like, get us on your notifications list, all of that fancy YouTube stuff. We certainly appreciate it. Well, I missed my recording deadline last week and decided just to push recording to today. And as promised, we're going to break down everything you need to know about TVs coming out CES 2024. Now, we're not ignoring Integrated Systems Europe, or ISE, which is happening this week in Barcelona, Spain. We have quite a bit of ISE news on our homepage. So if you want to stay up to date, you can head over there and check it out. Otherwise, we'll talk top ISE stories on next week's podcast. But for today, we're talking TVs. Now, if you want to dig a bit further into the topic, I'll drop links to two articles I published last week detailing the health of the consumer TV market and top news stories coming from the camps of the big five manufacturers here in North America. That would be Hisense, TCL, LG Electronics, Samsung, and Sony. So let's rewind for a moment and hop back to 2020, where we experienced what we're going to call the COVID-induced TV boom. There was a tremendous demand for TVs and supply just couldn't keep up. Manufacturers were left scrambling to deal with the virus and factory workers. There was a semiconductor shortage, shipping issues, generally a worldwide train wreck when it comes to the global supply chain. And that created the perfect storm for TV prices to skyrocket, vastly outpacing inflation, increasing as much as 30%, which honestly, for the times, really became new normal across all sorts of segments. And just jumping forward then into 2021, sales for TVs were still healthy. We saw roughly 210 million units delivered, though that number fell short of 2020 by about 3%. So things were starting to slow down, and there are some good reasons as to why. COVID was in decline, things were opening back up, people were starting to get back outside and into the public, and government stipends and things like that were starting to get rolled back. So combine those factors with the higher prices stemming from 2020, and you have fewer TVs that were being purchased. In fact, the same happened the following year in 2022, where sales slipped to a five-year low. It's estimated that roughly 202 million units were shipped. And the TV market has continued to trend down. What we saw during 2023 were sales numbers that slipped again, pushing total units shipped to 197 million, which is a decade low for the industry. And interestingly, analysts are blaming other factors that you're probably familiar with, high interest rates. We all know that one. There's also a financially damaging real estate bubble happening in China right now. And unfortunately, we also have multiple large scale wars happening right now. A couple of those with unusually weak fourth quarter sales numbers. And we find ourselves in a situation where the market is really struggling a bit as compared to just 4 or 5 years ago. And unfortunately, experts are predicting that 2024 will mirror last year, if not fall just a tad more. In terms of market share, we really have five big players in the world. Samsung is at the top of that food chain. This year, Samsung is expected to ship some 36 million units, giving them roughly 18% of the market share. Samsung is followed by two Chinese manufacturers in Hisense and TCL. Then we have LG Electronics. And then technically speaking, fifth place is held by a Chinese brand called Skyworth. But because Skyworth has a minimal footprint here in North America, we'll default to number six on the list, being our good friends at Sony, who incidentally have been leading the pack in terms of performance based on results out of the annual flat panel shootout events held by Value Electronics. That is Robert Zone and his team of experts up in the New York City area. And that gives you a nice a little backdrop on the overall health of the TV industry as a whole. Now shifting over to CES, for the second year in a row, Sony is holding its cards close to its chest, opting not to reveal any new TV models at the show. Pretty untraditional. This is only the second time they've done that, but they're sticking to their guns on this one. Instead, they use CES to showcase various technologies and initiatives that support creators, including a new 8K mixed reality headset that will eventually be packaged with Siemens NX immersive designer software. And that's going to be targeted toward engineering, design, and product teams. It does not sound like Sony has plans to release that headset as a consumer product. We do have some bits of TV plans to report on from the Sony camp. Flat Panels HD, which is a great website dedicated to covering the TV segment, says it was privy to a late year 2023 event in Tokyo, Japan, where Sony demoed its new take on mini LED LCD technology. Key developments include a new 22-bit mini LED driver, more dimming zones than previous models, and enhanced energy efficiency. According to Flat Panels HD, they saw a side-by-side comparison of a prototype to a 2023 Sony model and noted impressive light control and reduced light bleed around bright objects. Okay, so in plain English, LCD TVs are what we call a transmissive display. In order for them to work, light must shine through the LCD panel to light the pixels that create the image that we see. There are all sorts of ways that light is deployed behind the panel, and one way is this giant array of evenly dispersed LED lights. In some cases, we're talking about tens of thousands of mini LEDs, all of which are independently controlled or controlled in zones, so they can be turned on or off or varied in intensity. And that allows the TV to basically eliminate light bleed around the edges of bright objects. I should say, you know, I say eliminate, but really I should say mitigate, because there is always going to be a little bit of bleed around these objects, but they're really tamping down on that using these mini LED zones. You know, it also improves overall contrast and the ability for the TV to have really dark black images. There are other benefits too, but that's kind of the 2-cent breakdown on that. Sony does have a lineup of OLED TVs manufactured using LG Display's less expensive WOLED panels and Samsung Display's QD or Quantum Dot OLED panels. Both of those companies are subsidiaries of LG and Samsung, and they sell panels to lots of different manufacturers. In fact, LG Display is currently selling its WOLED panel to Samsung Electronics, allowing them to fill out their OLED TV offerings with slightly less expensive models. And just to clear things up on the OLED front, WOLED, that stands for white OLED. That's OLED, organic light emitting diode. It consists of white OLEDs that emit white light, which then passes through a color filter to produce the final colors that we see. That's how they manage it. The biggest drawback being that white OLEDs are somewhat limited in how much light they can output. The QD OLED panel combines OLED technology with quantum dots. Typically, it uses blue OLED as a light source, which then passes through quantum dot layers to create red and green colors. And this tech is more expensive than WOLED, but it has incredible color accuracy and higher peak brightness. And then we have LG's answer to QD OLED, which is the Meta panel, and that's found in things like LG's Evo line of OLED TVs. It's also more expensive than WOLED, and it too offers brighter brightness and color accuracy. The big deal about OLED is that it's emissive display, so it doesn't have backlighting. Instead, each pixel can turn on and off, which is why we see those incredible black levels and high contrast images. Also, light bleed isn't a problem. For me, it's my preference in the TVs that I have. I do have some LCD TVs here in my home, but my preference is to watch things like sports and stuff like that on my OLED panel up in my living room. Okay. All right. So for those of you counting, Sony, Samsung, and LG all have models that use LG Display's WOLED panels. Sony and Samsung both use QD OLED panels in their upper end TVs. and that's sourced from Samsung Display. And then we have LG Electronics. They're using the Meta panels that are produced by LG Display. Okay, so that's how all of that breaks down. Now, speaking of Samsung, it hit CES touting advancements in AI processing, which, folks, I have to say, the use of AI is just, it's almost becoming a little bit annoying at this point. It's just all the rage in marketing speak, and I think it's being misused or misdeployed to the public. Essentially, what the company is saying is that it's improved its ability to upscale, and it's improved its motion enhancement algorithms. So it can take a standard high def image and upscale it to 4K to make it look all nice on your 4K display, or same goes for maybe an 8K display. And then when it comes to LCD, you know, they're claiming that their most advanced TV processing can do something like lock on to an object like a ball to make that ball devoid of blur. You know, we're talking about fast moving objects on a screen. All of that kind of stuff is now being pigeonholed under AI. And, you know, personally, I think we should stick with the processing label, but that's kind of what's happening in that camp. In terms of OLED, Samsung says its 2024 S95D series of QD OLEDs will feature a glare-free technology that enables bright room viewing without impacting viewing angles, contrast, or color. So that's something to keep an eye on. In addition, the company says its QD OLED panel is now 20% brighter than last year's, with up to 3,000 nits of peak brightness. And that is a big deal. There was a time when OLED panels were lucky to be getting close to even 1,000 nits. And don't worry, when we're talking about numbers like 3,000 nits, it's not going to shred your eyes, but it does allow for bright details and specular highlights in an image to be more visible and detailed. Samsung's 4K LCD announcements are headlined by its Neo QLED QN90D, now offered in a 98-inch size. Additionally, the company's 2024 crop of QLED 4K TVs, and remember, these are LCD TVs, will feature an updated NeuroQuantum processor with improved 4K upscaling and a Real Depth Enhancer Pro feature for improved clarity and contrast of specific objects while maintaining background details of an image, which is what I was just touching on when I was talking about their AI announcement. Lastly, Samsung's micro LED displays are still in the conversation, but shrinking them to smaller sizes remains an issue. Micro LED is not to be confused with mini LED. Micro LED is an emissive technology that many believe could ultimately dethrone OLED panels, but cost and size scalability have remained big stumbling blocks. It's easier for them to produce these in larger panel sizes, but it's very hard to scale it down to sizes that are kind of more routine in your typical household. Samsung arrived at CES 2023 with a 76-inch model, which remains the smallest micro LED TV in its range. So let's shift gears to the other side of the OLED equation, and that is LG. It showed up with its second generation Meta OLED panel. Now, remember, this is LG's response to the success of Samsung's QD OLED panel. And LG says it features 42% increase in brightness over its WOLED displays, capable of 3,000 nits of peak brightness. Not too surprising to hear that 3,000 number getting thrown out there. Also, LG says they have improved energy efficiency while reducing blue light emissions, which it claims contributes to better eye health. And we can expect to see this panel in several lines, including LG's M4 line, which is a panel that ships with a wireless outboard box that can transmit 4K at 144 hertz, which is, folks, it's really quite amazing. That's basically like a wired connection, but it allows you to hide the bulk of the TV away from the TV, creating a much slimmer profile, making it easier to hang, all of that sort of really cool stuff. We covered that coming out of Cedia 2023. So check our YouTube channel for a really neat video where we hang out with LG and check out some of that technology. On the LCD side of things, LG has new mini LED backlight models that are paired with quantum dot and nanocell technology. They'll have several different lines of LCD TVs this year, mainly differentiated by the kind of onboard image processing that's available. I believe size-wise, their largest LCD is hitting in the 98-inch range. And of course, LG was not shy about talking about AI, basically alluding to its faster top-tier Alpha 11 processor, which can make images look better. And as we've seen in past value electronics TV shootouts, where Sony has outgunned LG using LG's own WOLED panels, all because of better processing. So getting that better processing behind the image is super duper important. That brings us to TCL and Hisense. These brands cut their teeth in the United States market with wildly affordable TV models. You probably are used to seeing these TVs sold in places like Walmart and Target. Well, their success has found them beginning to dip their toes into upper tiers of performance, which has got to terrify brands like Samsung and LG. They're also going big time after size. Hisense was particularly excited to report super positive sales numbers in the 85-inch category coming out of last year. So they're looking at size as a big way to make gains in the space. Both companies showed off various versions of LCD technology at CES, with the best models paired with quantum dot for better color, but also boasting better brightness. TCL's headline announcement is a new mammoth-sized 115-inch mini LED TV. That's the largest of its kind and closely related to the company's QM8 line that offers TVs size 65 inches to 98 inches, but adds an impressive 6.2.2 channel audio system and TCL's top shelf processor. TCL says the TV has 20,000 zones of mini LEDs spanned across the display surface, which indicates to me that it's likely going to have good contrast and black levels, but also those reduced incidences of bloom or light bleed around bright objects on dark surfaces. So that's pretty cool. Hisense countered TCL with a 110 model of its own, but this one has twice as many dimming zones, 40,000 dimming zones with 10,000 nits of peak brightness and 95% coverage of BT2020 color, which refers to a much wider range of colors than TVs of years past. It also has a 4.2.2 speaker system built in, but adds the power of Dolby Atmos Flex Connect for wireless connection of external speakers and an even bigger audio experience. Both companies also introduced TVs that will challenge that coveted bang for the buck range. And I noted that they're talking about adding some fun technologies to those ranges, such as Dolby Vision, IMAX Enhanced, and Filmmaker Mode. Essentially, they're padding those cheaper model levels with some tempting bells and whistles. On the periphery of current model offerings, we saw some interesting new techie stuff hit the landscape. LG came to CES with a transparent see-through OLED display. That was kind of neat to see. Definitely go over and search for that on YouTube and check it out. TCL's panel production subsidiary showed off what it calls a WHVA LCD panel. Essentially, it's a panel that accommodates wide viewing angles with much better blacks and saturated colors, which is traditionally a problem for LCD TVs. If you've ever noticed, the quality of an LCD picture starts to fall off as your viewing angle moves off to the sides of the TV. Well, WHVA looks like it could change that. And Sharp privately showcased a prototype display developed in cooperation with Nanosys. It has quantum dots that are directly driven by electricity, turning them into millions upon millions of tiny LEDs without the need for backlighting. The rumor is that this nano LED tech could ultimately deliver the widest color gamut seen to date, not to mention it can be used in just about every display device out there, from smartphones to TVs, from VR to laptops, which isn't typical of current display options. Many of those are often limited to one segment or segments, as opposed to all of them. It's looking like this nano LED tech is much more broad spectrum. And to sprinkle a bit of intrigue, Sharp says the technology could easily be manufactured in retrofitted LCD manufacturing plants. So look out, LCD. Okay, so folks, that's just a little taste of what to look out for in TVs this year. Really key takeaways are that top-tier OLED panels are gaining more brightness capability, better image processing. Here in North America, Sony and Samsung are attacking that high-end segment with Samsung's QD OLED panels, while LG is using LG Display's own Meta OLED panel. And in the lower price points, all three manufacturers are sticking with LG's WOLED panels. And on the LCD front, it's looking like mini LED. Backlighting is going to be all the rage with thousands upon thousands of dimmable zones leading the way. So keep your eyes peeled for that kind of marketing stuff coming out. Also, the trend is to go bigger and bigger with TCL's 115-inch LCD leading the way in that department. As for pricing, we'll have to wait to see. That should be coming out in the next month, 2 months, and we'll keep you abreast of that over on the website. Now, to check in on the movie front, disc critic Michael Scott has published Blu-ray reviews of Special Ops Lioness Season 1, Stephen King's Thinner, a film called Wolfpack, and Your Lucky Day. Also, he reviewed a 4K release of Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1. That is a total mouthful. If you'd like to read Mike's take on these discs, along with a breakdown of their audio and video qualities, or if you've seen these and you'd like to let Mike know what you thought of them, go over and visit him on avnirvana.com. His current reviews are right on our homepage there. And also, I'll drop a link right down in the description that will take you to a complete listing of all of his reviews, which must be getting close to over 2,000 at this point. Media Play News has its latest disc sales numbers out. DVD is crushing it this year with 62% of the market share. Speechless. 4K Blu-ray is coming in at a very distant 14%. Those numbers are for sales through January 13th, 2024. Oppenheimer still holds the top spot for overall sales, and nearly half of its discs are actually in 4K UHD. And if I'm reading the numbers right, only 1% of Oppenheimer sales are on DVD. Packing the next few spots, we have Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Boy, that one really seems to have legs in the disc market. Five Nights at Freddy's, The Expendables 4, and The Equalizer 3. Barbie slipped down to number 7. On the streaming front, The Holdovers have a hold on the top spot for the most streamed movie last week, followed by Killers of the Flower Moon, Past Lives, Saltburn, and Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. That's according to justwatch.com, which tracks data from more than 40 million users on a daily basis. Now, if you want the quality of a disc experience or better, you're looking at Kaleidoscape. This week, you can purchase Wonka, Aquaman, and The Lost Kingdom. They also have Jason Statham's The Beekeeper on premium rental status for those people who have Terra servers out there. And the 5-movie set, The Hunger Games. All of those in 4K are available right now. And as I mentioned on the last show, they are helping Sony to celebrate Columbia Pictures and 100 years of film with lots of hits and classics on sale right now for just $9.99. I definitely stocked up. And if you're a Kaleidoscape owner, definitely head over and check those sales out. That brings us to our weekly disc deals. This week, I'm changing things up just a little bit and tossing out some suggestions of what you might want to buy, and the prices are not going to be that crazy deal worthy price. But right now on Amazon, you can pre-order True Lies, The Abyss, and Aliens. All of those coveted titles are hitting 4K, should begin shipping on Tuesday, March 12th, but links to those are down in the description. So definitely get over and order those. If you're looking for a few films off the beaten path, check out a movie called Frozen. No, not the Disney movie Frozen. This one is about three friends that get stuck on a chairlift at a ski resort during a very cold day. Storm's coming in. And of course, they come to realize that they're stuck there for the next week. This is not A-list acting. It's definitely kind of into that B territory. Maybe not quite B, but it's a really fun popcorn flick. I enjoyed watching it. You can buy it right now on Kaleidoscape or through Amazon. I think it's only about 14 or 15 bucks. I'll drop a link right down in the description. And if you really want to turn the screws on the horror thriller genre, check out a flick titled Alone. I believe it's from 2020. It's only out on Blu-ray disc and HD on Kaleidoscape, but video transfer is quite good, and so is the audio track. Some very nice textured bass throughout the movie, I have to say, and it can be yours for just 15 bucks. I'll link to that down in the show notes also. On the gear front, here's a couple of deals to check out. Onkyo's TX-NR 6100. That's a 7.2 channel THX certified network Avery receiver. Normally $800. That's on sale right now for just $481. Lots of savings to be had there. And if you're looking to add AirPlay 2, maybe Chromecast streaming, and all sorts of connective audio features to an older piece of gear, maybe you want to build out a whole home audio system, not to mention benefit from all sorts of sound tweaking features, enjoy gapless audio, voice control, all that sort of thing, check out the Weem Pro Streamer. I covered these at Cedia 2023. You can find a video of that in our YouTube library, but it's on sale right now for a very reasonable $149. I believe the entry model is $99. So for $49, you get a whole lot more. And it can be integrated into home systems that use HomePod, Google Home, and Alexa devices. Links to both of those products are right down in our show notes. All right, home theater fans, that's a wrap for the week beginning January 29, 2024. As always, please be kind to each other out there, and I look forward to seeing all of you on the home theater forum at avnirvana.com.